LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour, and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best, numero uno, we like the sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the square circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heymans, had enough that you can say when. Until then, we gon' keep killing Brian Pillman. Signs still in forearm smash and Bass Brothers. Shows on boards, we attack the whack.
Yes. Yes, yes, the squared circle's back, and it's in full effect for the 2023 WrestleMania season, the road to WrestleMania, if you will. It's Len Biggs. I'm here with my boy, Mikey Whitesnake. Mikey, are you ready to get on the bumpy road to WrestleMania?
Oh, I am ready, Len, especially after that just electric Monday Night Raw last night with all the classics there. Just a perfect start to the WrestleMania season. And when it hits the Royal Rumble this weekend, it's going to be in full swing. I am pumped.
Yeah, like you said, last night was a huge night. Raw 30, the 30th anniversary of the landmark wrestling show, Monday Night Raw. And WWE brought out a lot of the stops. Not all the stops. They didn't make all the stops. They brought out a bunch of the stops last night. You know, the big centerpiece of the show, even though the first segment was, of course, the trial of Sami Zayn. Now, this is, segment was switched around a little bit because initially it was proposed, it was as of last week, it was going to be called the acknowledgement ceremony, and allegedly representative from all eras of the blowout was going to be there. But unfortunately, according to the dirt, Offa, Sika, and Rikishi were unable to travel for that acknowledgement ceremony. So they switched it over to the trial for Sami Zayn after the events of Friday night, which had the ending with KO putting Roman Reigns through the contract table. So what were your thoughts on the trial of Sami Zayn last night, Mike?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a few episodes ago where I was kind of concerned that this storyline might be being sped along a little bit too quickly for my liking. It's almost too good, and I get it, the timing. You know, you kind of want to reach the crescendo, if you will, around WrestleMania with a storyline, right? It can't go on forever. But to me, as a wrestling fan on the outside looking in, it's been one of the best, most refreshing storylines in a while. Acting is top notch. I hate to see it end. And I think that's where I'm coming from. And it's clearly spiraling in that direction for sure. The wise man is not on Sami Zayn's side. That much is clear. He had several exhibits showing how there's possibly a conspiracy, if you want to call it that, between Sami Zayn and KO, perhaps. There was even some scenes he omitted that he could have included, any evidence. And then at the last second, was it Jey Uso, right?
Jey Uso.
He used to have the problem with Sami, and that was the whole story leading up to this. Says, whoa, 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 actually, this guy's got our back. And then he presents several exhibits to kind of counteract Paul Heyman, who was in front of a raucous Philadelphia crowd who was just bloodthirsty for Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Heyman had him in the palm of his hand. But ultimately, Sami Zayn was acquitted of all charges, found not guilty by the tribal chief after some serious deliberation. But... he didn't want to see him again until this weekend, which I don't really understand what that's all about. But I have a feeling we're gonna find out come this weekend why he wanted him to stay away. It just seems like a weird stipulation. Overall, though, the whole segment, of course, well done. You know what I mean? Solo getting ready to execute. Come on, this whole storyline is just gold. That's why I don't want to see it end. You know it's going to, but I have a feeling the payoff is going to be so worth it, you know?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's excellent from top to bottom, as the storyline has been for almost 2 years. I mean, it's just, you know, or over 2 years, whatever it's been, this storyline's like something you never get in wrestling, where it's executed so well basically the entire time. I mean, there may have, I don't even remember many hiccups, but if there were, they're slight at the worst during the whole thing. And last night, like you said, Heyman for the prosecution was fucking on fire, and he just has that crowd in the palm of his hands. I mean, moves him anywhere he can. He gives Brock Purdy the big
how good was that? Money. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for Jay to be the one that steps up, shows us, I'll say this too about Heyman, much like many of the famous criminal defense attorneys that we're familiar with, like, say, a Johnny Cochran or F. Lee Bailey or someone like that.
Yeah.
He's a lot of bluster.
Yes.
Those evidence that he gave was very flimsy.
Yes. The assassination attempt.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But then, you know, you get to Jay, and Jay has it back. Then they start to tag match the titles against the Judgment Day. Jimmy gets injured, you know, injures his knee. Actually seemed legit. Then obviously you can tell, you know, by the way the story went, it clearly was the work, you know. But at first I kind of thought he maybe did get hurt. They got him out of there, and Adam Pearce allowed Sammy to fill in for him to defend the title. So that gave you an opportunity where they could lose that match and the tag belt because Sammy's in there, and that it really add fuel to the fire. They didn't, though. They had him win, retain the belt, which I thought was a good idea. And then Roman set up that there's going to be one final test for Sammy this Saturday at the Rumble. One final test, and, you know, you have to even has something to do with him taking out KO or something like that, and we'll see where it goes. But like you, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't want it to come to an end just because of the quality and how fun it is to be on your TV every week. You're going to have an inevitable letdown from that for the next storyline almost, so it's worrisome.
Yes.
However, you know, with the timing of everything and Elimination Chamber being in Montreal, Sammy's hometown, I mean, it's just such, it would be such a missed opportunity to not do Reigns versus Sammy in Montreal for the title. I mean, to me, you have to make that match by then. It's just too perfect to me.
And that would be the PLE prior to WrestleMania, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And then that still leaves time for the you know, Rome, you still get maybe KO and Sammy versus the Usos at WrestleMania for the tag belts, which would be enough, you know, the actual probably end of the Sammy bloodline thing. But I don't know. I just think that you have to find a way to get Sammy versus Roman. I don't think they want to do it at WrestleMania. I think they want some. I still think they have something bigger in mind for Roman at WrestleMania. And I don't think that's what, I think they want to do it, but they don't want to do it then. So that leaves Elimination Chamber to me.
Right. So it all comes back to where do we land at for WrestleMania, right? Do they have The Rock lined up? Do they set The Rock in motion a year ahead of time in WrestleMania 40 while they're trying to sell it? I mean, if you're trying to pump that price up on the company, you bring The Rock in, right?
Yeah, I mean, the report is out this week that The Rock said he won't be in wrestling shape by WrestleMania, so a lot of the journalists are taking that as gospel, and that now Rock's confirmed he's not going to wrestle at WrestleMania. I don't buy that for a solitary second. I mean, I think The Rock could have a 20-minute match right now, today, at any point of his
course,
whole life.
Of course.
Yeah, so I think that The Rock, I do think, will be Reigns' opponent at least one night of Mania. I still think there's a chance he wrestles both nights.
It's hard to say, but where does the story go? Like you said, it almost lines up too well with Sammy in Montreal at the Chamber. So what does that leave you for WrestleMania for the champ?
Obviously, you got to have him involved. You'll have the Rumble winner. You have the Rumble winner, and then you have The Rock. You have both nights filled with Reigns matches if you want to do it that way, which I think is a pretty good play. But
yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, on top of that, that's not the only thing that happened on Raw 30. We got the, you know, once every, like, 6 months reunion of DX. They reunionize all the time. Not much of a reunion.
Yeah.
They were there last night. I did like their interaction with, first of all, Kurt Angle came out with them with no explanation at all. There. And then they kind of use him as a substitute Billy Gunn for a minute, and it was pretty funny, I have to say. Like, most things Angle does is, They're interrupted by Imperium, which is kind of cool to get Imperium to look there, you know, opposing them. And that was just sort of a cool little spot, I thought. Yeah. I like
Walter. Then, Walter or Gunther, I'm sorry, was marking out hard for that moment, yeah, for sure. He couldn't.
Yeah, Gunther was there, and Gunther was there, and it was perfect for them how they say the ring's sacred, and you know, DX obviously degrading the ring, so that was like a perfect foil there for sure. And then you were supposed, the one disappointment I would say from last night, obviously, was that the cage match got cut. So it was supposed to be Becky versus Bayley in the steel cage, and had Damage Control just come out and trap her inside and beat her down instead. So there was no match. That's
What was reported. That all about?
Well, that's been reported on the dirts here today. Okay,
what's the scoop? What's the word on the sheets? What's the word on the sheets?
On the sheets, are saying that the Bloodline trial segment ran long, and
I can believe that
the minutes were cut out.
Yeah.
So they had given Becky and Bayley the choice: either they could have a beatdown segment and just like a no match, or they could do like a 3-minute cage match and get a finish. So they chose the angle instead of the match, which I think was the right move if that's what they were presented with. You know what I mean? Because you could always just move Bayley, Becky in a cage to somewhere else and make it huge. They could do it at the Rumble, in fact, you know, would be awesome or something like that. But I don't think they will, because they'll probably both be in the Rumble, knock each other out or something. Then you'll see them face each other somewhere else down the line. But that was unfortunate because I was really looking forward to that match.
Yeah, there was a couple of technical hiccups last night, it seemed like. The Hulkster had some hiccups.
Hulkster always has some hiccups, man. starting to show never goes off smoothly.
I mean, you can't get that mic's got to work out the gate. Come on.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's so ridiculous.
And we beat ourselves up here in the living room, Len. We have a little audio difficulties. This show's been on TV for 30 years, and they're still having problems.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was rough a little bit, but I thought overall the show was a lot of fun.
Plus another technical hiccup we can't forget is the American Badass took a little bit too long to get out of that tunnel with his bike.
I would say. The bike wouldn't start. That motorcycle, always a chance that baby won't start. Too,
that engine's cold, man. Yeah, you're starting a cold light. He's got to get revved up.
So, but that actually was a cool segment too, because you get LA Knight out there calling out Bray, and no one in the locker room would challenge him. You get the Taker's music. I mean, is the Undertaker going to come out there dressed as a dead man after he's already done his fucking TED talk into the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Seems odd. So. No, instead you get the American Badass, which I was actually cool. I like that. I like thought that whole thing was cool. And then you get the Bray and Undertaker whispering some words to Bray as he walked out, which I thought was a cool visual. And obviously a cool meme on the internet, which is going to be used heavily for many years.
So they fought each other at a WrestleMania, correct?
Yeah, 31. Yeah.
Right. So what's the big deal there? What do you think the Undertaker said to Bray? I think he might have said, rest in peace, Len.
I think he might have said, I am Uncle Howdy. What if he's Uncle Howdy, man?
He's too short to be, or he's too tall to be Uncle Howdy.
He just hunched down a little bit. He's got a big hunched up. Yeah, I mean, that hat's real heavy.
I think Uncle Howdy would be so much better if he was, like, just a little bit taller than a human could possibly be, like someone on stilts. It would be way cooler than what he is.
I love Uncle Howdy. I'm super into it. But it would be cool if he was, like, fucking Omos or something size. He was just a big monster.
No, like bigger, like obviously on stilts, like a Slender Man like type concept.
You want him to be like Slender? I mean, anything Slender Man, I'm proud of Slender Man. I like that idea for sure.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous thing that's ever happened.
It was a good show. It was a good show though, Len. I mean, let me say this though. Whatever Bray Wyatt's doing, and we're all waiting for the payoff to that with the pitch black match coming up here.
Mountain Dew pitch.
Mountain Dew back. Pitch. Is that a flavor of Mountain Dew? It sounds like it that is. Should be a Mountain. Wow, that sounds horrible. What is it?
It was out a long time ago. It was brought back just recently for this promotion, I guess.
Was it a black cherry?
I don't remember what it was like. So
black licorice?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, Mike. It's a Royal Rumble party this Saturday at our boy Don Dawson's house. We're going to bring some stuff, obviously. And I'm bringing each and every one of us a bottle of Mountain Dew Pitch Black. And we're going to drink that right during that match. Mark my words, that's happening. Mountain Dew Pitch Black party this Saturday. So get ready.
For some reason, I just feel like it tastes like Jägermeister.
Well, that's the look, but I just couldn't think of things like Jägermeister, or no one would ever drink that ever in the history of man.
Yeah. Or Pepsi, I mean, Coke or Pepsi, I mean, right? Is it kind of like that, or what? Have you had it?
I think I did in the first run, but I don't remember what it tastes like at all. I think it's going to be like a grapeish Mountain Dew. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe a grape-ish flavor.
Okay. Like a plum type flavor or something.
Yeah,
blackberry or something like that.
Black cherry, maybe. Black cherry would be
good. Nah, fuck cherry.
Big black cherry guy.
I hate anything cherry flavored. Is Vin Diesel involved in this match at all? Pitch Black was a great movie, and I hope he is involved in this match somehow.
We're going to drink Pitch Black Saturday night.
I can't wait.
I'm not taking no for an answer.
This match is, we have to start the bottle at the opening bell. We have to finish it by the
end. By the end of the bell. That's true. And that's non-negotiable.
So this match is either going to be, I think, amazing or incredibly stupid. I don't think it's going to be anywhere in between. What is the Pitch Black match? We talked about this before, Len. The era of cinematic matches has to be over. People want to see a match. What are they going to do? You can't have like a match in the dark, so to speak. So this is his first match, right? Since debut.
This is my opinion on what we're going to see here. And I think we are going to see elements of cinematic and elements of real life, Matt. I think what you'll see is, you know, it'll be dark, obviously, but with some lighting of sorts, some lighting so you can see what's going on. And then you'll get the regular Bray Wyatt we've been seeing. And then, you know, he'll get taken down. It'll go darker. Then you'll see, you know, the cult leader Bray with a little costume change. And then you'll see a video of the Firefly Funhouse will come on. And then that'll distract LA Knight while Bray Wyatt's switching into the Fiend mask or something. You know, I think you're going to see something like that. Is my assumption. That's what I think. And I'm in. If that's what we see, I think that'll be good. You're right, though. It could be terrible. But, I mean, this is the thing. People criticize you in particular and don't like a lot of the things Bray has done. But I'll tell you what. That match at Mania with Cena, that match was unbelievable. I mean, I know it wasn't really a match, but it was fucking amazing, whatever you want to call it. I thought that thing was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and like we said, I love that personally. I love that shit. But you can't have people at the gates putting on matches. Like, they want to see the action. That's where you make your money.
That's why there's going to be wrestling there. Yeah. And there's going to be a pinfall like in the ring. I think LA Knight, and we'll do predictions because there's only a few matches here in a minute. But I think LA Knight, this is a good spot for LA Knight. It's a good spot for Bray. You know, this is just an interaction. We'll see. We'll see what it is. Like, we honestly have no idea what it is. No. Kind of like the flavor of Pitch Black. Just like it's best. We don't know what either of them are.
It's a mystery. Like, I have a feeling it's like a mystery, like, flavor. Like, it could be multiple flavors, really. Every bottle could be different kind of thing. Like, guess the flavor type flavor.
That would be interesting. I don't think it's that because they'd push that harder if that's what it was. But that would be that would be cool if they did that.
We'll see. I'm interested. And one thing I'm going to say.
Mountain Dew comes out with new flavors weekly, and they all suck. Pretty much.
Right. My hopes are not high.
I mean, the regular Mountain Dew is by far the best Mountain Dew. It's
Baja Blast is up
Baja
there.
Blast is terrible. Baja Blast is a terrible Mountain Dew, in my opinion. But it's still better than most, because I've had, like, Watermelon Crazy or whatever they fucking all these stupid names they have. I've had a bunch of them, and none of them are good, really, to be honest with you. But Baja Blast probably is the second best one, I guess. but that's not a 10 month. Well, pit black Saturday, we'll find out.
You know what, Len? Just real quick, you were saying about Baja Blast. What about L.A. Knight? He is shining bright in this feud with Bray. And I got to say, it's a shame it's taken him this long. He hasn't really – he's the same guy he was in Impact years ago. Same gimmick, same catchphrases. But he's over, man. And I think he's coming out of this probably looking better than anybody in this whole Bray feud.
I think this has been great for L.A. Knight because you didn't really know what he was, to be honest. Now you do. You know, I love L.A. Knight. I love his you know, all his stuff. He's obviously, you know, stolen, quote-unquote, from the greats. You know, he's got a Steve Austin cadence. He's got the catchphrases like The Rock. He's got all that stuff. He's basically a creative wrestler for sure. He's a creative wrestler. The way his look is, the way he walks, he has the Austin walk a little bit down. He always has things to say. But I love it. I mean, I love it. I'm not criticizing. I think it's great with what he's done. But, and this shines light on a bright, and obviously, they don't just throw anybody out there in a segment with
the Undertaker. No, and they brought him to Raw, because he's usually on SmackDown.
On Monday Night Raw the 30th. They just don't. So they have a lot of confidence in him. They have probably some plans for him. I think after this Bray feud, I think you'll see him in, like, an intercontinental feud or maybe him and Walter because his character is fluid. I mean, LA Knight's babyface heel line is very fluid in my opinion. It can switch day to day, really. So I think you could see him, you know, against Gunther in a situation, or you could see him, you know, in a, you know, a feud with Ricochet or Braun Strowman, whatever. I think he's going to do big things after this. I think a mid-card title is probably in his future, if I had to guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he plays the part of sports entertainer very well, I believe.
So, yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. So what's the rest of the card? I've seen a lot of declarations for the Rumble.
Rumble, we're not going to go through all the declarations. No. Honestly, they're a negative in my opinion. I hate to even do these declarations. I want nobody that's going to be in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
One person. They show the graphic of the men. There's already 16 people or something on it. So now you're down to 14 possible surprises. I mean, I know you're not going to get a bunch of surprises.
Yeah, we say this every year. It's always
nobody
like
needs to know anyone that's going to be in it.
It's so always like five or six potential surprises is what it boils down to, pretty much.
Yeah, so as for the card, we'll just do some predictions now. So we're going to have, Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's title against Alexa Bliss. Obviously, Bliss has been getting some help or some attention from Uncle Howdy as well. So we're not sure what's going on there. Some supernatural element, which obviously she needs probably to be able to stay physically with Bianca. So that's made this feud at least interesting to me, because generally you'd be like, well, Alexa's a six-time champ or whatever, but she's like going to get punished by Bianca. Bianca's just too big and strong, which I love. But this gives her a little edge because of the wackiness that's obviously resulted in bloody lip, you know, four stitches for Bianca on the stairs. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm going to pick Bianca to win. I think Bianca's going to hold the title till WrestleMania for sure. But I think this match has some intriguing plot lines anyway. What do you think?
I feel like everybody expects Bianca to hold the title, but I don't know what their plans are for WrestleMania for her. So they could go in a completely different direction here and carry Bray and Alexa into Mania at some capacity. I could see the title changing hands here, Len. Bliss has kind of been on the sidelines for a bit. She's been teasing this change over to, you know, her previous character. What are they going to do with her? She's kind of, you know, just kind of been a tertiary character on the show. And I don't know what they're going to do in the main event picture for the women's title. It's almost like they need a shakeup of sorts. But Bianca's going to win.
Yeah, it's got to be Bianca. And I think, you'll find out more what their plan is for Mania on the Rumble, like most years. And then you got the pitch black matches we just talked about, obviously. Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight. Bray brought back the old Firefly Funhouse on Friday, which was kind of fun. I like that. And I like the things Bray does. Obviously, we just praised LA Knight. This is a Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. We don't know what that entails.
I want to go LA. He's going to get the shine no matter what. I feel like, man, Len, you can't have Bray lose this match. You can't. You just cannot. It's his first match back. After that,
well, I'm right with you, Mike. But I actually think that they have Bray lose his first match back.
Something completely off the grid's going to happen. You know what I mean? I mean, it's you can't, Bray can't lose this. Can't he? Cannot.
Well, okay. I think he can, and I think that he will lose this because this story is not really about Bray versus LA Knight or wins and losses. It's an internal struggle of sorts.
Okay.
So I actually see LA Knight winning this match and that being the next step in the whatever you want to call it, the downward spiral for Bray, where he's got to, confront Uncle Howdy. I mean, I just think that's what we're going to get here. I think Knight wins in some weird way, probably with Uncle Howdy getting involved. And then Bray, has a singular focus trying to get to Uncle Howdy at WrestleMania. That's my prediction.
Okay, so Uncle Howdy interferes. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's Bo Dallas.
No.
Not what?
Well, first of all, I don't think it has to be quote unquote Bo Dallas. Like, they don't have to ever say this is Bo Dallas. They're just going to call him Uncle Howdy. He's a new character now. And it's, you know what I mean? That's it. He's Uncle Howdy. Now, maybe at some point, when he wrestles or something, if he looks just like Bo Dallas, if he is like stripped of everything else, and he's just wrestling regular and like tight, we're gonna have to allude to the fact that he's Bo Dallas. But I don't think that's the case. I think Uncle Howdy is gonna be a character a la The Fiend, where he has some sort of mask or something covering his face through him being Uncle Howdy. So I don't know that he's going to get revealed anytime soon as a person.
Huh. What would his finisher be? Uncle Howdy's finisher, do you think? The Howdy bomb?
I think it'll be, what was Bo Dallas's finisher?
I have no idea.
I can't remember either. But he definitely had one. He was in camp for a long time in NXT. I don't remember what it was.
I don't know.
But whatever Bo Dallas's finisher is, that's what I think
he's doing. So, Uncle Howdy, on the recommendation of Jerry on our last Entertainment Center episode, which you can check out, which is a very well-received episode of the Entertainment Center Returns, Jerry recommended a film called The Black Phone. And that's immediately what reminds me of Uncle Howdy. I can clearly tell there's an inspiration there.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought the same thing. I when I watched The Black Phone, and then when I saw Uncle Howdy, same thing. It's clearly based off that in some sense, for sure, no doubt. And if Bo Dallas can wrestle in a mask that looks like a guy in a black phone, then I would have to say that it's Bo Dallas.
I don't know, Len. Like I've said before, this spooky shit can just spiral for so long before you just kind of get exhausted of it. So it's like it really needs to be some next level shit, I think, to really continue to keep me engaged in this Bray Wyatt saga here.
Yeah, see, to me, I'm in a different camp. I mean, I just think, like, I was not bored of or in need of the ending of the last one with Bray and Alexa and Randy Orton. I thought it was great still. I was still into it. It was fucking great. I love the fireball. I love fucking Bliss being able to do weird shit, whatever. But the ending, landed with a thud, and I think it's because they took the ending out of Bray's hands and probably Vince put it in his own hands how he was going to get this thing over with because he got tired of it. That's fine, but I don't think the story failed because of that. The story was great the whole time. It was really good, I thought, and I loved it every week. So to me, this stuff they've been doing with Bray and Howdy and all this stuff, even right now, like just on Monday, you just get a little flash of the Firefly behind Alexa when she's just doing a regular promo, whatever. I love that shit. Like, I'm in. I'm not ready for this at all.
Yeah, I don't need some existential shit, but I just want to see the end. I just want to see the payoff. Where's he going with it? What's Uncle Howdy? Like, who is he? We got to see it. We got to see it soon because just rehashing his old characters is great and all, but I expect another evolution of Bray Wyatt. I want to see his creativity in full force.
Yeah.
The Undertaker supposedly just pass the torch or pass the urn or whatever to him, supposedly, what's he going to do with it? Like, can he ascend to that status? It's going to be interesting to see. Or is it just do you think the Fiend has staying power of the Undertaker in terms of, like, pop culture status? You know what I mean?
I don't think the Fiend is the route they should go. I don't think the Fiend should be his character. I think it was okay for a while, but it kind of was, you know, it was kind of hard to beat and hard to figure out ways for it to lose and make seem right. So the Fiend isn't the character I want to see. I want to see Bray Wyatt, the character, even the one that's been talking through this segment that right now, that's just kind of rambly and talking and puzzles. That's fine with me. I love the original Bray Wyatt. I'd love to see a Wyatt family again, a new one, like with Bianca, with Uncle Howdy, whoever it is, Bo Dallas, let's say, but he's just a character, Uncle Howdy, Bray, Alexa, maybe Braun Strowman gets back in there or something like that. And you get not necessarily the same aesthetic, but still like a Devil's Rejects kind of aesthetic. Something like that.
They need to do something with Braun Strowman too. They need to do something.
Right. And I mean, I think you could easily tie him back in with Bray, where, you know, Bray could be like a pastor or like a leader, whatever you want him to do, anything like that he can do in a creepy, cool way and get people under his thing. And the people eat it up. It's good stuff. You just got to figure out what you're doing. Like you said, Adam, we don't know yet. Bray knows where this is going. We don't know where it's going, but he knows where it's going. He knows what's happening with this story. I guarantee it. Whether it lands with us or not, he knows where it's going.
Well, I like the vibe of like LA Knight being like the cool guy, gets all the girls, he's got all the machismo.
Yeah.
And Bray being like this weird thorn in his side. Like, is that where this story? I'm excited to see. Like, I'm just ready for it to get over the top here.
Yeah, I think this story with LA Knight's over Saturday. I just think this is enough story just to get Bray on in a match.
Get him going.
Get LA Knight a lot of airtime and a big story, and then we'll just move on from this. I don't think it means anything. The other singles match means a lot, though, on this card. Obviously, it's for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. A lot of words. And it's Roman Reigns, of course, defending against our boy, the prize fighter, Kevin Owens. You know, for a story that everybody's kind of been like, oh, this is what has happened before. KO's not going to win, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. They've done a really good job building intrigue in this match, in my opinion, the best you can do. I mean, obviously, nobody thinks Roman's going to lose this match. You just know that. I mean, Roman's held the belt for over 2 years, and he's 2 months from WrestleMania. He's not going to lose the belt. I mean, he's going to hold the belt. There's dirt sheet reports that they're going to split the belts before Mania. But if they do, it won't be because he lost one of them. They're going to just strip one or something. But he's certainly not going to lose one of those belts. He's not losing a match before WrestleMania. There's no chance in hell. But Kevin Owens will make it fun. It'll be interesting. And then, of course, there's the Sami Element story, which is really the story of this match, is what Sami does or what he's asked to do and whether he does it or not. But I'll take Reigns as far as the win goes.
Yeah, obviously, you can't, like you said, you can't take the belt off him now. Owens is a good guy who can step up and eat that L and still be relevant this time of year, which is clearly kind of, I don't want to say the death slot. It's still a good program for KO. But he's not going to win, right?
Well, what's your prediction for the end of this match?
Okay.
When Roman calls on Sami for whatever his favorite, whatever it is, last test, what do you think the ultimate last scene of this match is Saturday night? What's your prediction?
I mean, it's going to be they're both in danger of some sort. Okay, so is this a no DQ? It's a no DQ, correct?
No, it's not. It's just a regular match.
Okay. So there'll be a mutual, like, they're both in danger of either getting counted out or submitted, and Sammy's going to have to choose one or the other, straight up. And, you know, KO might be in some physical pain or something like that. It's going to be a real moral dilemma. And Sammy's going to have to choose, Len. He's going to have to choose one or the other.
What do you think his choice is going to be?
It's going to be the bloodline. It's going to be the bloodline, 100%. Yes, he's loyal to the bloodline, man.
He's just saying, okay, that's what I want to know. My prediction for the end is I think we're going to see a Reigns win in typical Reigns fashion, a little help from Solo, maybe a little whatever. Reigns gets the hard-fought win, and then after the match, the Usos, Solo, they got KO stretched out, you know, just holding there in the crucifix, and Reigns demands Sammy get a chair, and Sammy gets the chair, and then he demands Sammy, you know, put him out forever. Let's finish. Oh, and Jimmy hit him with a clean chair shot right in the head.
Something like that.
And Reigns says, end his career, you know, end his career.
Pick
of the sky.
Okay.
And then I think you get Sammy hitting the Usos with the chair, hitting Reigns with the chair, saving his best friend, Kevin Owens, getting beat down in the process, probably not, maybe not standing tall, but I think he's going to choose KO this Saturday night. And I think he's going to say he can't do it. And then I still think after doing that, I think you'll still see Sammy on Monday or Friday go back to Reigns' office, try to talk to him, explain to him why he did it. He wasn't going to end the man's career, but he's still loyal to the bloodline, blah, blah, blah. And then Reigns, you know, excommunicates him for a match at the Elimination Chamber, Sami Zayn for the Universal title versus Roman Reigns. That's what I think is going to happen. That's my prediction. So you think he's staying bloodline? I think he's
going to get pet
shoot. Yeah, we'll find out on Saturday.
Yes.
Then, of course, we have the two Rumble matches. Women's Rumble, Mike. You know all the major players. We don't know everybody that's announced. Bailey, Becky, all them. None of them have been announced yet specifically, but you know they'll be in there.
My pick.
First of all, can name me one woman that one surprise entrant all time, any person that's alive and could possibly be an entrant.
Mickey James.
Who do you want?
Who
would you want to see of all those people that you could name, who would you want to see come down that aisle if you had one choice only?
Sonny. Tammy Lynn Sitch in her prime.
Well, you're not going to get her in her prime. You get them today. On Saturday. But I like that pick. I would love to see Sonny come out, even if she's, you know, all strung out, whatever she is now. I think she's in prison.
Yeah.
But I think she's in prison. Yeah. But if she can come out.
On like a closed circuit television.
It'd be a feel good moment if she came out right then, saying that they gave her a work release. Maybe she had a headset on.
Yeah.
And a couple of police officers escorting her to the ring. That would be good. Anyone else?
It has to be Saturday. It's Saturday.
Anybody you want, but just like somebody that can wrestle this Saturday that you'd be really pumped to see.
All right, let me think here. Let me think.
Someone that's on contact with AEW, not Britt Baker.
Let me think here.
All right.
Still relevant. Stacy Keibler, I guess.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. Yeah, I was thinking about her not too long ago, and I was wondering, like, so weird she never makes any appearances. For a living now? Does she do something for a living?
On Peacock, they have like a Where Are They Now or whatever.
Yeah. What is she doing? Is she on there?
No, it was about Kelly, but she's probably doing something similar, just taking Instagram pictures of fashion.
Right. That's what I was wondering. I've watched a few of those. Where Are They Now? I didn't know if there was one on Stacy Keibler, but
they're both pretty young. Yeah, they're both pretty young. They could definitely come back at any time. You know.
Yeah, that's a good pick. You know who I'd like to see come down?
Yeah, this is kind of a trick question. I feel like there's not many free agents in play that could feasibly show.
There's a lot of people I'd like to see come down I could name here. Like, for example, I'd love to see Doudrop. We haven't seen her forever, but that's not who I'm picking.
Okay.
I'd like to see her.
Deonna Purrazzo. Sasha Banks. Yeah, okay. Now we're good.
Those guys would all be awesome. But you know who I'd like to see is my one pick.
Sasha's out of play now, right? She's out of play.
I don't think so. I'm not convinced. Here, this, I've been saying this all along. So if this happens, just know I've been saying this the whole time. But I don't. I'm probably dead wrong. But if I'm not, and this happens, I think there's a 1% chance you could get Sasha and Kairi Sane in this Royal Rumble, both just come in and both eliminate each other potentially. With a kind of a correlation or, you know, a deal, handshake deal with New Japan to promote their match. And I think it's possible, very unlikely, but possible. But the one ex-diva I would like to see come down that we haven't seen in a while is Nydia. I'd like to see Nydia come down.
Nydia.
You remember Nydia?
Yeah. Okay.
With Jamie Noble. I always liked Nydia and, I liked when she had that trailer park gimmick with Jamie Noble. It was really funny. And I'd just like to see her. I don't know what she's been up to lately, but I'd like to see her come down.
Yeah, there's a good chance you could see like your Jazz or someone like that, you know, show
sure,
up.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Hall of Fame speculation season too as well, and we're gonna have to get some.
Yeah, there's Hall of Fame class coming up. I mean, this is an opportunity to me for the women's one in particular. First of all, I'd like to see a couple NXT women in there, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, they just had a battle royal themselves.
Right, exactly. So I'd like to see the couple of them in there.
You'd think you will.
Maybe, I mean, Naomi would be awesome. I would like to see her back. I also think they had an opportunity there 2 weeks ago when, you know, Solo and Rhea are staring each other down there. That would have been an awesome time for Naomi's music to hit, come out and join the Bloodline. I've been fantasizing that since the beginning of the Bloodline. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see Naomi in there. Anyway, how about a winner for the Royal Rumble?
All right, it's going to be one of two. It's going to be one of two, but I'm going to go a little bit outside the box and say Raquel Rodriguez.
Oh, I like that pick. Yeah.
Has a lot of potential, Len. Yeah. And I think she's the type of person who could sneakily win. Other than that, it's got Mommy, Rhea Ripley. It's got to be right up there too, I would think. Those are my picks for the women.
I agree. Rhea's my number one choice. I think Rhea will do it. I would love to see Rhea, Bianca at Mania. That's a great standalone women's match. But I also think Charlotte versus Raquel would be very interesting too. So I could see Raquel as well. You know, of course, there's always the chance you get I think Becky could certainly win, of course. And, you know, then you could see Becky, Charlotte at Mania, something like that. Or I don't think you'd see Becky Bianca again, but you could see Becky, Charlotte. So there's some stuff out there. The long shot would be that you were right and Alexa Bliss won. Well, when you were talking about Alexa Bliss won the women's title on Raw, then Bianca entered the Rumble, won it. Then you get Bianca, Charlotte at Mania because she's always wanted to take on the last horseman she hasn't beat yet. That's a good story. You could do something like that. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's something that could happen potentially.
It's going to be interesting. For the men, Michael.
Uh-huh. Again, same
lots
question.
Lots of declarations here in the Beast.
A lot of declarations. Also, a lot of a lot of opportunity. A lot of big Hall of Fame names have been on the lips of people for this. But if you had one choice, not The Rock, not Stone Cold, not Edge, not any of the Hall of Famers that are rumored. If you could pick one person, and this time, to enter the men's Royal Rumble that we haven't seen in a while, or just something that would be intriguing, who would you like to see enter the men's?
Oh, man. Oh, CM Punk, Len.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Could you imagine? It's not going to happen. But
now, I believe CM Punk's still under contract with AEW. But
is he? I don't know. But yeah,
I think that
would bring the house down. Other than that, Rob Van Dam would be an interesting entrant. I think.
Oh, that'd be a good one. He's a
guy that I don't think. I don't know if he's shown up as a surprise entrant in a Rumble yet or not. But he could always make an appearance. I think pull off a couple minutes in the ring.
Yeah, that could be good.
Let me think here. I don't know. Hey, you know, there's a lot of people. I can't think of too many people from the Impact side. I think they got everyone pretty much locked up over there. Same with AEW. I can't think of too many huge names right now that would show up that would be stunning. What do you think?
Well, I can't think of any like real big ones either. I think
some random legends.
Yeah, obviously there'll be a couple.
Ken Shamrock should go in the Hall of Fame, and he should show up in the Rumble. How about that?
I could see Braun Breaker being in the Rumble, certainly.
You would think.
I think one person, there was someone I had in my mind, I just lost it. I'm thinking someone, I'll tell you who it is. Somebody that would be really big with the internet, obviously, that they could put it, they could get in there, is Matt Cardona, a.k.a. Zack Ryder. I think that's possible.
That's a good call. Mm-hmm.
And I think that would do real well with the internet fans, for sure. So I wouldn't be surprised. In fact,
he would be a prime suspect to show up too. That's a good call on that.
Yeah, Matt Cardona,
he's increased his stock on the indies quite a bit. And if he came back as Zack Ryder, if he did the
it would be big. I think that's a big hitter. Yeah. I actually think that's going to happen for some reason right now.
That would make too much sense for everybody involved, probably. You know.
And how about a winner, Mike? What do you think about a winner of the best Royal Rumble?
Favorite,
obviously, is probably Cody Rhodes. It seems like everybody has said Cody Rhodes. That's been kind of written into stone.
Cody's my pick, but let me give you obviously, he's got to win it, Len. He has to. Cody is going to win.
I think there's two people that could win just equally. I think Cody is a co-favorite equally with Seth Rollins. I think either of those guys could win it at the same, because I think either of them could win it, and they would win it presumably by eliminating the other one. Okay, so you get down to the last two, it's those two. Somebody's going to eliminate someone. Rhodes went 3-0 over Seth Rollins last year. So you get a match at the Elimination Chamber before the Rumble between those two again. And if you wanted Seth to go into Mania as quote-unquote Roman's second opponent after The Rock, if he's going to wrestle two matches, you get Seth versus Cody at Elimination Chamber. Seth gets the win, so he's and then Cody's on kind of like a little bit of a downward, like what's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's got to figure something out at Mania. Where Seth was last year, but now it's Cody with the shoes on the other foot. Seth takes on Roman at Mania and wins the title. I think Seth versus Roman at Mania is just as big or bigger than Cody versus Roman at Mania. They're both kind of the same thing. So I think those are the two most likely winners, in my opinion.
Yeah, Seth and – so you're saying Seth and Cody then?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah.
I mean, Seth is – come on, man. He's fucking gold.
The only other person I could see winning potentially, honestly, is Sami Zayn.
Yeah,
is the only other.
And you got to keep Brock in the mix too.
I think so, but last night tells me they're going Brock,
Lashley, retread. Yeah, which doesn't get me crazy. We just went through that for some reason. That wasn't as intense of a matchup as I thought it was going to be.
I think that's because they knew they were doing a third one at Mania.
Yeah.
So I think they held back some on that second one.
We'll see. I need more Brock on the mic.
I mean, Brock's always a possibility to win.
I mean, I want to see Brock in a match, but Brock's high points recently have been on the mic. It's been his character work. You know what I mean? You got to give him time. Just him going in there and having a match with Lashley and spearing each other through the timekeeper's barricade, like... That's a throwaway match. At that point.
They're just going to keep setting that barricade back up and then let them serve back. They're going to have like fixed timekeepers areas at that show.
So right. I'd rather see like a best of seven, like arm wrestling, like legit arm wrestling matchup between those two than I would a wrestling match.
That would be great. That would be great. I'd like to watch an arm wrestling battle between those two.
Fuck a match. Yeah. Some arm wrestling.
So anyway, I think Seth, Cody, Sammy, and then the longest shot of any one of the four would be The Rock, I think. I don't think The Rock's going to be in the Rumble. I don't think The Rock's going to win the Rumble. But it's not completely inconceivable that he could show up at, like, number 28 and then fucking win the Rumble. I mean, it's not inconceivable.
No.
So,
No, it's not. And it would bring the house down.
Sure, of course. Anything he does is going to bring the house
down. In our fantasies, you know, we know this WrestleMania has been in L.A. for a couple years now. And we've always thought in the back of our... We thought in the back of our minds a couple years ago, and WrestleMania 38 is going to be in Texas. Stone Cold is going to show up and have a match. He did.
Yeah.
The WrestleMania after that is going to be in L.A. And
Rock's going to have a match.
Going to have a match that. And I think our expectations are so high because of the Stone Cold thing for them delivering. You have the sale going on. They're going to want to pump every bit of... no pun intended, juice in this product that they can over the next fiscal year to make it as attractive as possible to any possible. And they're going to throw everything they have on the table to get these numbers up for Mania. And you got to think that they have The Rock on hand to put a cap on this Roman Reigns story, because the man himself, Roman Reigns, deserves a rest. He deserves some time off. And they need to cap this off somehow because he's unbeatable. And the only guy that can beat him is the legend of all legends, really, that can still go. And that's The Rock. And he's the biggest star in the world. And if they can pull him off, man, it'll be a coup. And Vincent Kennedy McMahon will walk out of that sale smelling like roses.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion on this whole thing is, I mean, you have to be able to get The Rock for this year in L.A. and in this storyline.
He ain't coming to Philly. No.
If you cannot get The Rock to do a match on Mania in L.A. Against Reigns to end this storyline, then The Rock's never wrestling again.
Never.
I mean, if he won't wrestle in this match, he's never wrestling
this
another match.
This is it.
I mean, it's all... hands on deck. You spend it, whatever you have to spend. It shouldn't even cost you anything. He should do it for free. He's the most popular man on planet fucking Earth. He should do it for free. Vince did this for him. They made it. I mean, this match he should be like, absolutely, whatever you need is what they should do. Yeah. So I think that he kind of will do that. I think The Rock is that kind of guy. So I do think The Rock will wrestle at WrestleMania, and I think it's going to be awesome. But it ain't WrestleMania yet. It's the Royal Rumble this Saturday, Mike.
No. I don't think he's going to be involved in the Rumble. I don't think he's going to be involved in the Rumble. No.
I don't think he will either at all. But it would be awesome as fuck if he was. But yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I don't know. I have a bad feeling my expectations are so high for this Mania run that anything less than that, again, just like last year, if Austin doesn't show up, like, it's going to be disappointing. This time last year, we started getting the teases, right, of Austin.
Right.
Potentially wrestling Owen. So I'm anxious over these next couple of weeks to see where it all goes, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Austin, I did find it odd, and probably a little bit of a hint that Austin's coming soon, because he, of all people, should be on the Raw 30th anniversary. I mean, Austin is Monday Night Raw. If anybody should be on Raw 30th, it should have been Austin, and he wasn't. So that kind of seems like a dead giveaway that he will be coming in the future weeks, for a bit leading up to Mania. I think he's definitely having a match at Mania.
You think?
As well. I do. With who? Yeah, I think you'll get him against someone like
Corbin.
Maybe someone like Logan Paul, maybe.
No, come on. Yeah, John Cena. I heard John Cena versus Logan Paul. Now that would be.
I think you're gonna get Cena versus Austin Theory. Is what I think you're gonna get at Mania. Cena, Austin Theory. And then Austin, somebody. And I mean, I don't think it's going to be Logan Paul, because they probably want to put a more steady hand out there with him. And he probably wants that too. So it probably won't be that. But I could see Austin wrestling at Mania against somebody they trust a lot. Maybe LA Knight.
Here's a wild card for you, Len, in the Rumble.
All right.
RKO.
That would be awesome. I would love, I talked about this at work the other day. What would be awesome is if, I think Riddle will return at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And I think you get Riddle in there, takes out a couple guys, it's just Riddle in there himself, waiting for the countdown. And then that 3, 2, 1, boom, Orton's music hits. It's Orton comes out, it's just him and Riddle in the ring. come out, big, huge hug, RK bro chant, and then boom, RKO, fucking Riddle's over the top rope, and Orton stays alive.
Yeah, and let him bro out for like the entire 3 minutes till the next guy comes out.
Right till the end.
Till the end. And then at the last second, like as soon as the camera pans off, Randy just hits him with an RK. He's a slave.
RKO over the top.
There's a big payoff waiting there too. For sure.
If Orton can return.
If he can go. We don't know his status, but it's been eerily quiet on that front.
There's a lot of reporting out there. Seems pretty legit that, and it could be potentially career ending. I mean, I hope that's not true.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I still think the Riddle Orton thing, I mean, the Rumble would be the perfect place to do it if you did it like that. I mean, it would be fucking awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. So much. It either starts, you know, you either get it in Hopper like this weekend, or chances are you're not going to see him at all for this stretch over the next couple months. You know what I mean? It's a good chance.
Yeah. And I don't think when he does return, I mean, I think it almost has to be with a surprise RKO on Riddle. But after he sets Riddle up to think that they're going putting RK Bro back together. I mean, that's pretty much the way it has to happen, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that could happen. There's not a lot of free agents, you know what I mean? that I really expect to show up, honestly.
No.
You know, like your AJ Styles or your
Styles is hurt, so he's probably out, it seems like.
Yeah, but in years past, you had guys like that kind of out
right,
there.
Right, yeah.
I don't know who else they could really get that's not tied up already in one of the
Yeah, not a ton of free agents at this point. People are one place or the other. But yeah, so anyway, it's going to be a great show. We're having a party at Don Dawson's. It's going to be fun. We always obviously talk about Rumble Foods every year, and we have a couple dishes we're going to take, Mike and myself. We have a couple ready for the weekend, but other than that, it's been a real tough year coming up with names this year, Mike, hasn't it? Coming up with dishes, well, been a rough year.
Yeah, because I think you make the plays on words for some of the legends like Rob Van Clams or Spaghetti Guerrero. You know, everything like Undertaters. John Cena-man roles. Everybody knows when you say that, what you're talking about, then you start exhausting those. Now you're on people like, what did you say last night? Like garlic Dakota knots or something like that. No one even knows.
You get knots. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just nappy bread, I think, is what you would do with that.
I was reaching deep. But we did each come up with one good one we're going to bring this week.
Yes, and so, I think those should be state. Those are ones you bring to every party. You got the Brawling Fruits. It was brilliant.
The Brawling Fruits.
It's simple. Yeah. Simple. It's just a fucking fruit bowl. That's all it is. Yeah. That's all it has to be.
Exactly. Fruit salad coming your way.
Yeah.
And then Mike's get one this year is a great one, too. The Ice Cream Raiders. That's classic. That's a great name.
There's some conceptualization on Ice Cream Raiders.
You're gonna have to see, that's something you gotta figure out. That's not an easy one to do. But you said it, so now you're bringing it because I want to know what it is now. I mean,
I told you it's an ice cream sandwich casserole.
That's not a bad idea. I was thinking, you know, never see those like ice cream logs that like Carvel or whatever used to sell. It's like a cylinder of like Neapolitan ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make those.
Cut off a slice.
Yeah. It's it won't be that consistency. It'll be more of like a cake type deal of ice cream.
Like an ice cream cake. Like an ice cream birthday.
I'm basically going to bake an ice cream cake as well.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And then of course Savio veggie tray should be a staple, I think.
Yeah, and obviously the goat Hell in a Celery.
Hell in a Celery will be there, of course.
We'll be there. I mean, you can't ever miss that one.
That's the entree, right?
Right now it is. We don't have any other entrees. I'm gonna get Don Dawson on an entree. We need some sort of an entree. Maybe there's got to be some. Do we have a pun on Sloppy Joe's? We have to, right?
We have the Vince McMahon, which is, I would assume, which should be.
McMahon. There might be some Vince McMahon, which is there, I would say, this year. is a possibility. Maybe some, I don't know. What else do we have? Would we have any, like, do we have any, like, cheesesteak puns or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't have the list in front of me right now.
I know. Well, anyway, yeah. Anyway, there's we're a, keeping it.
It'll be well stocked. The spread is
the spread's going to be great. Fine. Anybody listening to this pod, if you want to come to our Royal Rumble party, anybody that listens to this podcast, if you want to come to our Royal Rumble party Saturday, you DM Living Room Champs on Twitter or Instagram, and I'll give you the address, and you can come right over and enjoy some ice cream Raiders with the founder of the Living Room itself, Mikey Whitesnake.
That's right.
My personal promise. You ask and you shall receive.
And if you come to our Royal Rumble party, you will get a free subscription to Paramount Plus.
also one, well, there is one extra instance, obviously. You also have to bring a Royal Rumble themed food, and it has to be approved before entry. So when you walk through that door, you better have a dish and a name and an explanation. Yeah. And if it can get past me, Mike, and Don Dawson, you're in.
Yeah.
If it can't, you can take your fucking
and it could be
dish, get out.
It could be the best dish in the world. And a true chef and artist, Wolfgang Puck himself, could make it. But if it doesn't have a good wrestling themed name, you can just get it the fuck out of our
faces. Just get lost. You're not getting in the party. I'll tell you that right now. So
now I tell you what was a party. I tell you what was a party, Len, and that was Imagine Wrestling at the Bellamoro Social Banquet Hall. My goodness!
Absolutely.
If you did not have the opportunity to attend this event, my word, we had a good time. We had a real good time.
Oh, my God. What a time. Imagine Wrestling was awesome. They delivered family-friendly entertainment, as they always did, for about 2.5 hours or so at the Bellamar. They'll be back March 18th, which is the weekend of my 47th birthday.
Oh, my.
So it'll be a big celebration at Imagine Wrestling. And I'll tell you what, man, honestly, I don't ever have any more fun any more than when they come now. Every time they come, it's the funnest night of the year. It's the best. It's just so fun. So they're coming again in March. Seems like we might get them four times a year, which is awesome. I mean, wow. I'm super into that. The crowd was great on Saturday. We got, a good gate for them. I think they were all happy. Got to see Cato and his lovely wife up at Napoli's for lunch. I got to, talk to him a little bit, shoot the shit about wrestling a little bit. That was nice. And Lance Payne was in Napoli's as well. I missed him, though. I wasn't there. I was already gone for the day. He came in a little bit after I left. So Weber saw him. That was a good time. And then we saw our new favorite local rock band, Mike.
Yes.
Rockin' House at Nightfall at Evictus. Hellbent is the band of the year. I mean, what a show Hellbent put on down there at Evictus. Huh, Mike? How awesome was that?
My goodness. I mean, not my genre of music typically, I would say. If I'm going out partying, it wouldn't be my first pick, 80s rock,
right,
hair metal. But it takes a certain type of band and a certain type of performer to make you believe in what you're hearing, no matter what you think about the music or the bands that originally made the songs in general. And that's where Hellbent comes in, right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just an electric performance. And I hope they keep rocking. I want to hear more of them for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first time I saw them. It was awesome. I mean, like you, I mean, we're both kind of hip hop heads at heart, and obviously, but when you go out around Dubois, PA, you don't get any hip hop shows. I mean, that's not going to happen. So the band you get is generally some sort of rock band. It may be a lot of times it's 70s, sometimes it's 90s, sometimes it's 2000. A little bit of mix here and there. You get whatever. 80s hair metal, to me, after rap, is probably the second best thing I want to hear if I'm out drinking and having a good time. I mean, all the songs are known. Everybody in the bar can sing along with almost every song, and that's the key to a good time, in my opinion. And the singer, I don't know his name, forgive me, however, he was outstanding. I mean, what a showman. he has that perfect voice for the like high pitched 80s guys that hit those notes, you know, at Axl Rose or,
yeah.
you know, Bret Michaels, whoever, guys like that. He hit all those notes.
Yeah.
Killed it. It was just amazing. It was such a fun time. So
he was really good.
Shout out to Hellbent for capping our night. We had some beverages and I was, you know, I was, it was a rough Sunday morning. I don't get any of those anymore, thankfully, but I did this time and it was a good time. Great time, actually.
I had an awesome time. It was a lot of fun. Hellbent. Yeah. You guys, if you're listening somehow to this show,
I might tag Hellbent in this, Facebook post.
We love Hellbent. Yeah, we had a great time. We had a great time for sure. I'd rather listen to 80s rock than like the 90s shit, because in the 90s it starts getting depressing.
The 90s, I mean, I like a lot of 90s shit too, but you know, you don't get a lot of bands that play like Nirvana.
It's like it's Nirvana, it's Pearl Jam. They're all kind of glum and gloomy.
But even those, like, there's not a lot of cover bands that do those bands that well. You know, especially Nirvana.
No, and there's Pearl not a lot. Jam, there's not a lot to do hair metal well at all. And because of the vocals, that's where this guy comes in and just kills it. So
you're right.
We had a great time. If we could somehow get Hellbent at like an Imagine show. Out here at the Snake Pit somehow in like a Woodstock style festival. Maybe we can get like George Santos come organize it or something.
Living room camps present summer festival.
Imagine Wrestling, Hellbent. Oh my goodness. Wow.
I'll tell you what, our next endeavor, we start
festivals.
We'll do the crowd work at the show. Our band's cast. Our next endeavor is to get Imagine Wrestling, your community days in DuBois.
Yeah.
We started laying the groundwork with our guys in the high places that we have contact with. Started to lay the groundwork. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. Probably not.
If it's not happening this year, it's never happening because the higher-ups were there. They saw it firsthand, the electricity.
We turned them on to this product. And we have a couple sponsors that are willing to write checks to Imagine, I think, that can sponsor the whole thing. I think it's a missed opportunity. I'd love to see that ring set up on Heindel Field, like at nighttime or, you know, something like that, or freaking Stern Field, nighttime with the lights on. It would be so much fun at Community Days to have like a night wrestling show there, free to everybody for Community Days. I think it would be really cool. So we're not going to stop. We're going to try to get it there. I think it's a good idea. I don't know if we're going to done. But nonetheless.
Would you rather have Imagine Wrestling at Heindel Field or Hellbent at center field at Mantell Stadium under the lights?
Oh, that would be awesome. That's a tough call, man.
Packed. The whole stadium packed full of people just rocking and partying.
The capacity of 5,565 at Mantell Stadium.
There's no way that holds 5,000 people. Come on.
Hey, I'm telling you, look it up. Our boys, the Zings, they looked it up. They sent me the picture. And I think it was Darren Zing, if I'm not mistaken, sent the picture. The capacity, I could be getting this. There was three fives in it. I think it's 5,565, if I remember right. I think it's 5,565 people. And I immediately said, there's no way in hell
was that like a plaque like in the back corner of the stadium from like 1903? Because it's probably way less than that now.
I don't know. I'm just telling you, the information's available on the World Wide Web.
Is that like bodies on the field or bodies in the stands? Or
that's seating capacity. So that would not include bodies on the field. That would be seating capacity. I mean, I think that if that's true, the most that's ever been there is probably like 3,000. If we're looking at 5,500 as capacity, I would say maybe they've got to 3 grand before. But I don't know. I mean, that's what the internet says. You can look it up, just like you can look up the lyric, DuBois Loyal Sons Are We, our alma mater. You can look it up anytime you want. It's available. You can get a picture. You can see a picture of the venerable E.J. Mansell standing there. You can get all of it. So it's all available via the World Wide Web. Nonetheless, I would like to go to Imagine Wrestling at Heindel, then immediately walk across the street to E.J. Mansell to see Hellbent with a crowd completely full. That would make my life. I mean, that would be one of the greatest nights that's ever happened in DuBois, Pennsylvania, if that happened, Mike. It would tear the whole city down.
Yeah, we're not ready for that type of electricity. No way.
I mean, it would be. Could you imagine the hell bad at EJ Manuel if it was like packed? How crazy that would be. That would be so nuts.
How,
I mean, it would
how
be-
close is that guy to? I mean, you look. And Jenna said the same thing when she saw the videos of that night. He looks. He reminds me exactly of the guy from fucking Stranger Things.
Like, just, I don't watch Stranger Things.
Oh yeah, you didn't. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. But I'm sure I can get a.
Well, he's in that. He's in the show. That guy. He's
that guy.
Show.
I mean, that guy was amazing.
He's
dude.
A man. Yeah. I wish he was my friend. I want him. If you're listening. Please reach out to us. Email us at livingroomchamps@gmail.com.
I would like to
be friends with you because it seems like you're a good time. You have a lot.
I mean, he was having a blast. He liked our group. He liked our group at that show. We brought the energy up.
Oh yeah, it was magnetic. Yeah, as soon as
we walked in the door, we turned that place up.
Oh yes. Big time. Yes,
it was a lot of fun.
Yes, yeah, the spotlight.
Anyway,
yeah, it was shining bright, and Len,
it was great.
It's going to be a good weekend of wrestling, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, Saturday, Royal Rumble. Next week, we'll be back. I'm trying to set up. When we get off, I'll talk to you, Mike, real quick before we get off. But once we're off here, hopefully we're going to do an Oscars preview with John and Marielle. The nominations came out this week, so we'll talk about the nomination. I hopefully want to do it next week. I haven't heard back from Mar yet, so I don't know for sure. So, anyway... we'll try to do that, try to set up something like that for next week. And the Squared Sofa will be, you know, probably every week or every 2 weeks, I would say at least, right?
For WrestleMania. Sorry about that.
There's a Funkhouse making a run in right now. Is Maddie Funkhouse's music just hit? Oh my God! No. Who is it? Who is it? That's got to be Funkhauser.
Matty Funkhauser, you son of a bitch.
Funkhauser's bringing a steel chair. What the hell's going on?
Sorry about that. You try talking and producing at the same time. That's all I got to say.
I hear you. But anyway, yeah, so we'll be here every week or every 2 weeks. We're going to do Entertainment Center and Squared Sofa. Try to get them in as much as we can with football over now pretty much. And it's a lot. It's refreshing. I ain't gonna lie to you, Mike. I'm excited.
Yeah. What's real quick? What's your thoughts? I mean, as we predicted, it's the way back. If you tuned into one of our episodes long ago, we I think called out these four teams at the beginning of the year as being contenders, and here they are. We got the Niners, Eagles.
Yeah.
And we got the Bengals, and we have the Chiefs. So who do you got in the Super Bowl? And you got that. Do you got a rematch of the drive?
Well, I'll tell you what, I do, in fact. Yes, I got Bengals, Niners. I've been saying that for probably 3-4 weeks now at Napoli's, the webmaster. But I've been saying I like Bengals, Niners. Then the Bengals had some of those line injuries. I got a little bit worried, but I still thought they'd win last week. Since we're talking football real quick, I do want to take a minute to gloat. I did win the season record, right, Mike?
My prediction
of the Jaguars to win the AFC South came through. It was not far-fetched. It happened. That made me so happy. Jags won. The Jags won a playoff game and actually played pretty good against the Chiefs. Had a chance to win that game as well. Thought for a couple miscues. But nonetheless, they're gone now, but I was happy I got
big,
that one right.
Big step forward for the Jags this year.
Big step forward, yeah. Complete franchise changer, I think you're looking at. A big step forward for Lawrence. You're probably looking at a top 5 or 6 quarterback going forward, and they're going to be right in the mix in the AFC for the future here, it seems like, Mike.
Yeah,
but Niners-Bengals for the Super Bowl.
We'll see how bold you are next year with the Jags, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You think they're going to be a contender next year? I don't know.
I think, the thing I completely forgot about till the other day is They made that trade for Calvin Ridley midseason.
Yes.
So they'll have him next year along with
receivers are like the least of their worries. Their whole receiving core just puts up, 85 yards a game. They're just all.
Yeah, but I think you put Ridley in there and get Marvin Jones out of there, and it really makes that team interesting. And now Ingram's a free agent. He was only a 1-year deal, tight end.
He's going to cost them.
I think they'll sign him there. I do think they'll sign him or brand
him. Yeah, they kind of unlocked him, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, for sure.
That, I tell you what, Christian Kirk catches that bomb from Lawrence. That's a completely different game.
No doubt.
I don't know if Ridley is going to be the guy to make that play for him, but they'll be put in position to win with Trevor Lawrence. He's definitely taking a step forward. And I would draft him in the mid to late rounds of any fantasy football draft you have next year.
Oh, yeah. He's climbed very, very high in those rankings. So is ETN, probably.
Yeah, ETN looks solid, too. Just a big play guy. Chunk yards. And he'll take a step. He'll be second year next year, really. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
what do you like for the Super Bowl, Michael?
I tell you what. I like Joey Burrow, Len. Everything about the guy.
Love it.
It's Brady-esque, really. From his demeanor to the way he plays. Obviously, a little bit more athletic than Brady was. But just his poise, the weapons. Now's the time for that team, man, to capitalize. The Niners, it's going to be those two, right? It's going to, like I said, repeat of the drive. Dwight Clark.
That's what I feel like. I mean, the Niners are hitting on all cylinders. Brock Purdy's been amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do think this is the test, though. The Eagles, yes. But Purdy hasn't really been to a place where he's been down and had to, come back yet. And the Eagles are the kind of team that get them down early, where Purdy's under a little more pressure.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Their defense, San Francisco's defense, is playing so good right now. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, that matchup is going to be great, because those two teams didn't play in a regular season, did they?
I don't believe so. No, that's a good game.
No, but the Chiefs, obviously the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs, three times in a row? They're going for four in a row. The Chiefs aren't going to be walked on either in this game, for sure. You know what I mean? We can't count them out at all. But Mahomes being hobbled is significant for them.
Yeah, Mahomes having a high ankle sprain hurts them. But if anybody's like the Jaguars, just decide not to guard Kelce at all, and he'll just throw to Kelce every single play like he did last week. And he had 14 catches in that game.
Yeah.
And the teams need to start realizing that's the guy you got to take out of the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take Kelce out completely.
Yeah.
And let the receivers try to beat you. You have to at this point. He's unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand how they can. I mean, he's just such a matchup nightmare for everybody.
Yeah.
You can't really guard him. It's hard.
You got to figure out a way, though, to chip him at the line, double him, do whatever you got to do.
That's the thing, is he fakes blocks or blocks somewhat every play, and then he just gets open. It's crazy.
Yeah.
With Mahomes hobbled, you got to take the Bengals in this one, man. Joe Burrow is he's the man. He's going to be a real problem for the AFC.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's right there. I mean, I think you'd have to think he's, 1A, 2, he's right there. I mean, you got Mahomes, him, Allen are in the top tier probably at this point, and Allen took a step back this year. But I'm not saying he's still in the top tier.
No.
And then you got Hurts, Lawrence, those kind of guys in the next tier. Herbert, maybe, those kind of guys. But
and then you look at the Bengals, the Eagles, these teams,
this is the year the Bengals make it happen.
They have to make it happen this year, because you got to start paying these guys. And
the bill's going to come due. Yep. Higgins is going to get paid.
Yep. Chase.
Burrow obviously is going to get crushingly amounts of money. It's going to start to come due. So you got to take advantage of this opportunity being down to the final four for sure.
Yep. So I'm going to take the Bengals over the Niners.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same exact way. Bengals over Niners is my prediction as well.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, won't we? Well, we'll see on Saturday, too, at the Rumble.
Yes, we will. We'll see who wins the Royal Rumble, and we'll start marching down that road, Mikey. Come visit us at Living Room Champs on Instagram, Facebook, at LRC Pod on Twitter. Living Room Champs are out.
Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best. Numero uno.